Jordan faces sixth night of protests against rising taxes and prices, and why banning cryptocurrency ads could make it harder to sift the good from the bad. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. We start here in Britain. 10 years after it bailed out the Royal Bank of Scotland during the financial crisis, the government announced today it sold a 7.7% stake in the bank. The first share sale in 2 years reduces the government's holding to 62%. The BBC's Victoria Craig has more.
The UK Treasury sold its latest batch of RBS shares at a 3.5% discount to Monday's closing price. When compared to the amount taxpayers paid for shares in 2008, it represents a $2.8 billion loss. While some criticized the sale, John Glenn, the UK Economic Secretary to the Treasury, said it's time for RBS to return to the private sector.
It was never the intention that we'd be a permanent investor. It was a crisis situation, and the government had to act at that time 10 years ago. But it's a fundamentally different institution today. The market conditions are such that we need to begin this process, and that's what we've done.
In the wake of the financial crisis, many banks and financial institutions around the world, including RBS, have simplified their operations. RBS has slashed the number of countries where it operates from 38 to just 9. It's also separated its retail and investment banking arms and resolved a U.S. Justice Department probe into the sale of mortgage-backed securities in the run-up to the crisis. In February, the bank posted its first profit in a decade. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. RBS shares are down more than 3.5% after that government sale. Elsewhere, the Institute of International Finance reports foreign investors pulled more than $12 billion from emerging market stocks and bonds last month. It's all down to strikes in Brazil, funding issues in Argentina and Turkey, political uncertainty, and yes, those U.S. tariff threats. Now, U.S. ally Jordan has big money problems. Since it secured a $700 million loan from the IMF in 2016, the government has raised taxes and removed subsidies, making everything more expensive. Five nights of protests toppled Jordan's prime minister yesterday, but people are still angry about a new IMF-backed tax bill that will hurt the poor and middle class. The BBC's Mark Lowen is in Amman.
If the Jordanian government thought that the resignation of the Prime Minister would extinguish these protests, well, this is their answer. For yet another night in central Amman, the protests have gathered. Demonstrators trying to break through police lines. There have been scuffles. On the whole, fairly peaceful atmosphere here, but a lot of anger still against the austerity measures that the government is pursuing in return for this IMF loan. There is some celebration here that a Prime Minister who was deeply unpopular has been forced out. But they feel that what's needed here is not a change of personnel, but of policy. Austerity policies that they say have hit the poorest hardest.
Like every other week they do something new, they raise the prices, of the electricity or the petrol or anything. Like, it's very unjust for the people.
We have one of the highest numbers of Syrian refugees in a country that barely doesn't have much resources to accommodate this huge numbers. And we need aid in order to provide the necessary services.
They say that it is the fundamental economic inequality in Jordan that needs to change. And unless that happens, these protests, the biggest that Jordan has seen in several years, will continue to grow.
Mark Lowen. If you're looking to invest in cryptocurrencies, they'll have a harder time reaching you online. This week, Google joined Facebook, Bing, and Twitter in banning all cryptocurrency ads, putting them in the same category as Ponzi schemes. Simon Taylor is co-founder of 11FS, a digital banking consultancy. He says the blanket ban is a bad way to address the problem.
There's a lot of pressure on those social media companies right now to clean up their image in terms of how they're managing data and how they're doing advertising. And generally, the reputation of cryptocurrencies has been somewhat checkered. Merited or not, that has been the perception. And so this finds itself in the eye of the storm, as it were.
This ad ban is meant to target dodgy ripoffs, like the guy who raised millions by convincing people in the US that Chuck E. Cheese pizza tokens were a cryptocurrency. There's also firms that have been hacked and the money gets stolen. But am I right in thinking it also penalizes all kinds of legitimate cryptocurrency businesses?
Absolutely. So you might have the likes of a Coinbase or a blockchain.com These people provide wallets for the safekeeping of regular old cryptocurrencies that you or I might have.
Those businesses are penalized, and they're in a position where they cannot get their message out there that they might be a safer alternative to other things.
So is there a way to filter the legitimate businesses from the illegitimate?
I think so, yes. If you look at what the social networks do, a lot of what they're doing today is filtering and targeting. So they filter out hate speech. They filter out posts related to guns and violence and such like. This is something that they do with software, and they're some of the best in the world at it. And they're very, very good at targeting what might be interesting to you. Using those same tools and techniques, I imagine they could help dramatically identify what is positive, what is useful, and what is going to protect consumers.
Now, obviously, Google controls massive amounts of ad traffic and revenue. So what kind of an impact is a blanket ban going to have?
I think it could have a really significant one. Now, bear in mind, we saw that, I think it was blockchain.com announced they have more than 30 million wallet accounts. Now, that might not be an individual, but this is a business that's grown very, very large off the back of, you know, the prices in these crypto assets booming. They now potentially have lost a way to raise awareness and grow their business. That could be significant, number one. And number two, if you are a consumer, those legitimate businesses now have no space to advertise to you and say, this is the safe product, and the Wild West is still there.
That's Simon Taylor, of 11FS. And in London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.